Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by Bluebet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Welcome to Crunching the Numbers, going inside and breaking down the game and finding out what all the data means.
Welcome to another episode of Crunching the Numbers. I'm your host, Mark Sports from the Tennis Menu, and my co-host, as always, the ever wonderful numbers man, Mr. Shane Leonard, data-driven sports analytics. Shane, thank you once again for joining us.
Hi, everyone. I never deserve any of these fantastic introductions, but it's good to be here, and let's get cracking today.
Let's get cracking, absolutely. It's obviously a challenging time still for everybody around the world, and we're hopefully getting in control of the COVID situation right across the world. Hopefully in Melbourne we get a little bit better, because we're struggling a little bit down here, Shane, and obviously we're confined back to our houses, which actually isn't too bad sometimes, because you get to wake up whenever you want, do what you like, you get to record podcasts like we're doing right now. But this week is all about the art of simplicity, and the art of simplicity is a really important factor for tennis coaches and data analysts right across the globe to understand and to be able to utilize, because what we know about athletes is that they don't like to be overloaded with information. And from my perspective as a coach, I need to keep things very simple in terms of game planning and information. But same goes for yourself and data analysts alike. I think it's a real critical component of how we need to deal with our athletes. So, Shane, we spoke a little bit about it during the Australian Open. It was about when we worked with David Ionel from Romania, and we talked a lot about what can we give him that's going to make him the best player on the day. You know, you would come up with a collation of your data, give it to me, and then I would then dissect that to give it to David. But there's so much data that you collate. So do you want to give the listeners a little bit of an idea from a data analyst perspective around what you do and currently do, and what you give to me as the coach before we even give it to the athlete?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really good topic, and it's actually something both Mark and I have spoken on various channels, and the importance of messaging to the athlete, as Mark mentioned, is critical. All of that, including, you know, reinforced learning and having sort of achievable targets, is part and parcel of, I think, the role that the two of us play together. So in terms of the analysis, to probably dial it all the way back, essentially what we're doing is we're trying to use information from past events, matches, and then analyze it, and then you want to apply it to some future event, so a tennis match. And the ultimate aim is to try and get some sort of competitive advantage or get some success from that data. Now, there's a couple of important call-outs. You're using past matches, and you're trying to apply it to a completely new match scenario. So that brings a bit of a challenge, because if you know, matches are not identical. A 6-love, 6-love result on one day could be completely different to a 6-love, 6-love in another day. So if you're the analyst, you've got to factor in most things from the past match, and then you need to apply some sort of filtration. So you're picking up key things that you can apply to some future event, and not absolutely everything. And I've spoken in the past about you can code and capture data on anything. So potentially you could capture data on tying shoelaces, or at the change of ends you went to the towel, and the relevance of that wouldn't apply to a future event. So it's really important that the analyst has the experience to be able to pick up key things in the match, and not absolutely everything, even at the analyst stage. And I'll put a bit of theory out there, but in predictive modeling, when you try and apply to every single thing, you can build a model that predicts the past event perfectly, but it won't work to a future scenario, and that's called overfitting, because it's not generalizable. So I think that's a key part of an analyst to be able to be experienced enough to figure out the most important parts of the match.
And you're correct in saying that we're looking at past events. So, you know, this is one thing that, from a coaching perspective, I hate about when people say the head-to-head is 5-0 in favour of one player, so that means that they're more likely to win this next match. It's irrelevant. The historical information is kind of irrelevant, because players improve and players get better and situations change, environments change. So, as you said, we've got to collate the data, but then obviously only utilise what what is going to be beneficial for your athlete to be able to use. So, you know, over the space of 100 matches, your opponent misses every second ball on their forehand in a rally. That is more important than, like you said, you know, the once-off things that might happen, like a 2-all last time they've tied their shoelace and they won 6 games in a row. You know, that's to me an irrelevant piece of data. So obviously the historical data is there, but we need to understand how to utilize that, how to keep it very simple for our athletes. So as you said, you collate a lot of data over time. What data specifically, and you can talk about what we did in terms of the Australian Open, but what did you give me at the Australian Open for someone like David Ionel before a match? And then what was our process? And can you give the listeners a bit of an idea of the process that you had to give to me, and then obviously I'll give that process back from what I gave to my athlete?
Yeah, I think we've worked with each other for some time, so I think as part of the process and as part of, I suppose, the way I went about doing the analysis, I knew that you like to see something on the serve, something on the return, and something when the ball's in play. So when I was collecting the data, I always had that front and centre, that's something that I wanted to present to you. And then I went about it and go, okay, what else can I pick up during the match that will complement that or be a value add? So that's, I suppose, the data collection. And then once you're doing the analysis, you might see something and go, actually, you know what, it's not worth sort of you know, filling the report up with that information because it's not showing a trend or something that we can action. So you naturally filter down a little bit. And then one thing that we do before matches and before events is we sit down and we have a chat. So there's a further refining process when the two of us are sitting, and Mark, with his experience, technical and broad experience in strategy, would say, actually, you know what, let's not highlight this today, or this could be something we look at in the future, but we would refine it, basically, and then you'd communicate it on, and maybe you can touch on that.
I think that's a really important part, as you touched on, the serve, return, and ball in play are my three key components of any match, and that's what I generally plan around. So when you're serving, when you're returning, when the ball's in play are really critical because they're the three game situations that you're going to face every single point. So, and I think that's a really important part that you're giving maybe a data analyst that's out there listening, is that when you're taking the data or you're analysing data for the coach that you want, make sure you know what they're looking for. Otherwise, you're going to waste a lot of time doing a lot of data on things that probably aren't what the coach is going to use. So it's important to understand what the coach wants and what the player needs as well is the other critical component to that. So basically then when we sit down, Shane, it's almost like the refining stage, isn't it? We basically grab all the data you've taken, and then I get a little bit of info from David about how he's feeling, and then I look at how basically he's practicing and playing, and then I then look at, well, can David actually execute what you're wanting to do from a data perspective? And if he can't, then obviously we don't want to present him with the information that you've probably given. So there's a lot of components to that. And then we refine our information a little bit further. And then you obviously isolate maybe two or three things that we need to work with. And then I take that to David. And that's the important part for me taking it to the athlete is I need to be able to be simple. I need the player to be able to execute that. I need to know that if I give them this information, they're not going to be overloaded and freeze up come important times in the match. So they're, for me, the important parts of that discussion with the athlete is making sure that I know that they're not going to be overwhelmed by the information that I'm giving them. And that has happened in the past, and I know that we've had times in the past we've given information and the player is just frozen and gotten too much, and it's about refining that and keeping it as simple as possible. And that's hence the reason we've gone down this path today, Shane, is simplicity is the key in terms of what do we want to look for, your perspective, what do I want to hear from you from the coach perspective, and then what do we then filter to the athlete to ensure that they can execute things to the best of their ability.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for an analyst, and I'm speaking to you guys out there, just always remember that the final recipient isn't necessarily the coach, it's the player. So there needs to be a level of understanding from the analyst to the coach and to make sure that the coach is able to understand the information you're giving, because they'll need to relay it on. And if you sort of start your analysis knowing that there's a third party waiting, or in some instances I've worked on a team where there's two coaches and I was only communicating to one coach, so there needed to be a sort of communication at that level and then a further communication to the player. So if you sort of remember that the end recipient might not be the person you're directly giving the information to, you'll naturally build in a little bit of simplicity to the analysis numbers as well. Like I said with Mark, I think it's an iterative process as well. I haven't necessarily got it right all the time, and each coach I've worked with is different, so I've had to refine that to the team that I'm working in.
That's important to understand too. Like the data's not always going to be 100% correct, so we've got to not give the information to the player as this is going to be gospel, because you might need to make changes through the map. So the other, last part of it, I feel, is the important part in that delivery from a coaching perspective, and I've asked you this several times. We've actually given the video evidence behind the data to the player to see what we are saying, and not necessarily just the numbers behind it. And that, to me, is the real sticking point, and that where we can get the trust from the athletes to say, the player's forehand breaks down on these moments, target this area on these moments, I'll show you what that looks like. Basically, that then gets the buy-in, and once you get the buy-in and the trust, then the player knows that it's not just an opinion, it's basically numbers, it's vision, and then the coaches, obviously they're giving it to them, so they trust the coach. So you get those three bits of information, and then you can have the athlete have that real confidence when they walk into the match, that they've seen that it works, that they've heard that it works, the coach tells them, hey, this is going to work. So there's a lot more belief when they walk into that match, and that's obviously coming from you. You cut the vision and you get the data, and that's obviously where our information comes together as coach and data analyst to be able to produce to the player.
Yeah, definitely, and I think when it works well, it's fantastic, and I'm glad you sort of raised video, because I think adding video there has really helped, and it is almost the, from my experience, I remember the Thomas Fabiano, he had a skepticism of statistics, basically, and he didn't believe in it, and really video was the selling point on some things that we wanted to change, and without it, I don't think we would have nailed some of the changes.
Yeah, and we've always talked about that video or the vision is basically evidence, and people need evidence, right? So, you know, these days you can't just say to someone, oh, this is fact, unless you've got something to back it up. And when you've got things to back it up, like vision and data, it makes your argument so much better. I know that helps when I'm talking to my wife as well. I need vision and data to be able to convince her several times. So it's important. But, you know, I think this is a really important topic, Shane, and we obviously have worked together for a long time, so we understand each other quite well. But it's important that if you're a data analyst out there or a coach, ensure that you are working together and not in separate or individual silos, and make sure that you work together to achieve something that is going to make the player a better player on the day. Historical data is important, but it's not going to make or break your match. You need the data plus also the current feelings of the player. You need to be able to connect with the athlete, get the trust, get the buy-in to be able to get the results. And, you know, use video to show evidence, and make sure that you as a coach are keeping things very simple in the delivery of your message. So if you guys can do that, then obviously we're going to move forward and make our athletes much better. Shane, as always, mate, your information is second to none, and, you know, obviously we've had a lot of success doing what we do, and I want to continue to do that, and hopefully people can learn from our situation and the way we work, because it's vitally important for our athletes, because it's all about the athlete, not about us, and we want the best for them. So again, thanks for your time and efforts, mate.
No, thanks, Mark, and I mean, that's reciprocate that. I think I've learned a great deal from Mark, just the way he approaches dealing with the athlete, but also, you know, strategizing for a match and actually using the information. My lessons from him have been invaluable.
Thanks, Shane. Much appreciated, mate. And, all the best. And, guys, that's been another episode of Crunching the Numbers. That was The Art of Simplicity, brought to you by Data Driven Sports Analytics, where the guru, Shane Leonard himself, is the man there, and the tennis menu, which is launching in August. So please get onto the tennis menu on social media and take a look at our page, and hopefully there's plenty of products, and there's definitely a product there with Shane Leonard, which we've got called Crunching the Numbers. It's all about the data analyst perspective on the game. So thanks once again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Crunching the Numbers. Make sure you subscribe to receive all the First Serve podcast.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.